We turn in Scripture to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and beginning at verse 18. And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" So they answered and said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day." Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what advantage is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and in the glory of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. Then behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. And then turning over, Peter was one of the three disciples with Jesus there. And Peter writes about that. Turning over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. He's talking now about this incident. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed, as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks for these readings of God's infallible word. Well, do you like hill walking? Or what about mountain climbing? It's good exercise. It's nice to be out in the fresh air. And you always have the reward of having stunning views. Well, today we're going up a mountain. We are away up north. If you think geographically, you have Jerusalem, and north of that is the Sea of Galilee. But way up north, where the River Jordan has its source, is a place of quietness. And Jesus has taken his disciples away so that he can pray, he can be with God, but also because he has things to teach the disciples. And as he is away up north on this mountain, probably Mount Hermon, two men appear to him, Moses and Elijah. And there is this voice that comes from heaven. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And we want to take those three things that God said and look at them, each one in turn. Jesus' identity: "This is my son." Jesus' purpose: "My chosen one." And our response: "Listen to him." So let's go mountain climbing. First of all, we have Jesus' identity. Who is Jesus? That's a question we need to face up to ourselves. And it's a question we can ask our friends. Who is Jesus? Did he really exist? Was it a real man? Or is he like Robin Hood? I was reading about Robin Hood. Was he a real man? A robber? There were certainly plenty of robbers. And if you go to Sherwood Forest, you can see a big oak tree, and that was supposed to be their hideout. And if you fly into Doncaster Airport, it's called Robin Hood Airport. So there must have been a Robin Hood, right? Well, not necessarily, because it began as a ballad, a song, and the different characters were added as years went on. And Little John and Friar Tuck and all the rest, they weren't necessarily at the beginning of the song and the story. Who is Jesus? Was he a real man? Did he really exist? We have not only what is written in the Bible, but we have references to this man, Christ, outside the Bible. And no serious historian questions whether Jesus existed or not. Well, then the next question is, who is he? Was he just a man? A man who went about doing good? Or was he more than that? And what are the implications of that? And as we talk to our neighbours and our friends, and we push that question, who is Jesus for you? Once someone admits he was more than a man, he was God come to earth, then the next question is, what are you doing about it? Is he your saviour? So here we have God's verdict. Who is Jesus? He is my beloved son. Jesus is up this mountain with his disciples, and he is transfigured before them. Here we see a glimpse of his glory, the glory that is shining forth. We think of Christmas time and the baby who is born. There's no indication at all in the Bible that Jesus was born at any point in the month of December. But what is important is what happened in the incarnation. This is God coming to earth, God the Son becoming man. And what happened when Jesus was born? He didn't stop being God. He didn't stop being anything he was before. But he took something extra. He took us on his humanity. It is like you or me, if we have our suit on, and then we're going outside and it's raining and it's cold and blowy, we put on a big overcoat and we button it up so you don't actually see your suit. Well, that's what Jesus, when he came to earth, he put on humanity. And his humanity covered over his divinity. He never stopped being God. But in addition to being God, he now was man as well. He is the God-man. And here on the Mount of Transfiguration, we have a glimpse of his glory. His glory is shining forth. And John, as he writes in his gospel, we have seen his glory. He's the God-man. He's fully God, fully man. So here is God's verdict. This is my beloved Son. What an amazing sight this was. Imagine if you and I had been there with Peter, John and James. Is Jesus worth following? Here's his glory, a glimpse of his glory. Well, if I had been there and if I had seen that sight, I wouldn't have any doubts. Certainly I'd follow Jesus. What a privilege it was for these three men to be present. But we have something even better. As Peter writes in his letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, we were there, he says, we saw it. This is not a story we made up, this was real. But we have something more sure. And he's talking about the Bible. That was a one-off. We have the Bible constantly in our hands. We saw his glory that one day, but we can read the Bible and we can see his glory. We can see all that Jesus did and who he is. At that time, the disciples didn't understand about his death. It wasn't what they were expecting. Their Savior, their Messiah, would be a military ruler liberating the country, chasing the Romans. They had so much to learn. But we've got the Scriptures, and we can see exactly what Jesus did and how he became our Savior by dying on the cross. These things that they found so difficult to understand and accept. We have something more sure. So yes, if you and I had been present that day, it would have been wonderful. But Peter says we have something more wonderful in having the Bible in our hands. So Jesus' identity, he is the Son of God. Secondly, we see Jesus' purpose. Jesus' purpose. My chosen one. If you have a job to do, you choose the right tools to do it. If you want to hammer a nail into a piece of wood, you go to your toolbox and you pick out a hammer. But if you're going to make a cake, you don't use a hammer. You get out your wooden spoon and your mixing bowl and all the accoutrements you need. According to the job you have, you choose your tools. God the Father says, this Jesus is my chosen one. And it speaks of Christ's purpose. Christ's purpose. This is my Son, my chosen one. So what was the purpose of Jesus coming? What was he going to do? And this is what the disciples find so difficult to accept. Jesus had asked them, He's been with them now for the most part of 3 years. They've spent all their time with him. They've seen his miracles. They've heard his teaching. And Jesus asks, well, what's the word in the street? What are people saying? What do people think about me? And they answer, one says this, another says that. And then Jesus says, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter, as usual, is the first to answer, you are the Christ. You are the Savior that God has promised all through the Old Testament. And from that point, Jesus begins to teach them that he's going to die. He's going to be rejected by the religious leaders. He's going to be put on a Roman cross and suffer. And Peter can't accept it. Oh, not so, Lord. Far be it from you. Don't think like that. You need positive thinking. And Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan. What you are saying, it comes from Satan. That's not the will of God. The will of God is that I go to the cross. So Jesus, from this point, is beginning to teach them what it means for him to be the Savior. His purpose in coming to earth was to go to Calvary. And so, this is all preparing the disciples and teaching them. It was also to strengthen Jesus himself for the horror of what lay ahead. And as Moses and Elijah talk to Jesus, they talk about, verse 31, his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. They're talking about his death. The word literally is exodus. Talking about his exodus, leaving this life. And like the exodus with Moses, when the people were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered the people, and God gave the Passover lamb, an innocent lamb was slain, and its blood was sprinkled on the doorposts, and all who sheltered under that blood were saved and delivered and had a new life in front of them. Here is a greater exodus, a greater deliverance, that Jesus would go to the cross of Calvary, and through his blood shed, we would receive forgiveness. We would receive a new life. And that's what Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah about. And notice, it's about his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. That Jesus dying on the cross was not because God's plan didn't work, that something had gone wrong, that Jesus had been caught unawares. Jesus is in control all the way through, and he is giving his life willingly and voluntarily. It's his plan that has been carried out. This was not his death was not a random incident. It wasn't an accident. It was done on purpose according to God's plan. Jesus' purpose. He came to save sinners. And he would do so by going to the cross. Isn't this wonderful news? That we as sinners can be forgiven. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure whether you're a Christian or not. Well, look at Jesus. Look at who he is, why he came, his purpose. He came for sinners like you and me, and he died on the cross, that cruel death that we deserve, but that he took upon himself. And so he invites you to come and put your trust in him. In him alone. If you are a Christian today, what wonderful news. How we're to rejoice in God's grace. That we can know that our sins are forgiven. Praise God. So Jesus' identity, who is he? He is my beloved Son, says God. Jesus' purpose, my chosen one. God chose Christ to be the Savior, and he did so by dying on the cross and rising again. So we ask the question, so what? What are we to do? How are we to respond? And thirdly, then, it brings us to our response. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Here is our prophet. In the Old Testament, as you know, there were three offices: a prophet, priest, and king. And the king ruled over the people and defended them. The priest spoke on behalf of the people to God. He prayed to God for them. He offered sacrifices to God. The prophet spoke from God to the people. And here is Jesus, in fulfillment to what Moses had said, God will raise up a prophet like me from among you. Listen to him. So here on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father is saying, this is my prophet. Listen to him. And as we have seen, the first thing Jesus has to teach his own disciples here is that he has to go to the cross. He has to die at the hands of these wicked men. It's not what the disciples were expecting. It's not what they wanted. But it was God's plan all along. So he is teaching them that he must die on the cross. And the disciples are so slow to learn. Peter is lost for words. He sees this vision, this, Moses and Elijah, and he doesn't know what to say. And he blurts out, oh, let's make three booths. It's like being on holiday and you're having a good time and you say, I wish this didn't have to end. But of course it does have to end. You have to go back to normal life. Well, Peter didn't know what to say, and this is what he blurts out. But here is Jesus teaching his disciples, ask the prophet, listen to him. Now, how do we listen? Well, we listen through the Bible. Peter says, we have something more sure. We've got the scriptures. We ask the question, is Jesus worth following? Well, look at his glory. Look at what we see here. Here's God, the Son, who became man. Yes, he is worth following. Do you feel almost overwhelmed by the troubles of this world, by sickness and different things that cause us problems? Look at Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured that agony that we can't even imagine. And he did so because of what he knew lay ahead. And he can help us through whatever our experience is. As we think of our loved ones, those who were Christians who have now died, where are they today? They are in glory. They are with Christ. And we, if we're believers, we can look forward to being with them again. So, what are we to do now? We are to listen to him. Here is Jesus, our prophet. We are to follow him. We're to trust him. We're to obey him. Now, may I ask you, In what areas of your life do you find it hard to listen to Jesus? Do you find it hard to accept what he says about salvation, about the only way of salvation, about the necessity of the cross, about the fact that we are sinners, we need forgiveness? Do you find it hard to listen to Jesus when he says that we are to obey him in practical terms? How we use our lips, not to speak words of criticism and tearing people down, but to speak words of encouragement, building people up? Do you find it hard to listen to Jesus when he speaks about how we use our finances, that we're to be honest in our dealings? Listen to him. Take in his word. Every time the Bible is being taught, every time a sermon is being preached in this congregation, you ought to do your utmost to be there, to be present. Every time there's a Bible study, to be there, to feed in the word, to listen to Christ. And here is his invitation to us to come into his presence, to see his glory that is revealed here on the Mount of Transfiguration. The glory that is his all the time, hidden over by his humanity. The glory that is his in eternity future. This is what we invite our neighbors to, that they too might come to know Christ, that they too might share in that glory. This transfiguration, in fact, was a watershed in Luke's gospel. Up until now, Jesus has been with the disciples for this period of time. He's been teaching them. Now they recognize that he is the Christ. He is teaching them that the cross lies ahead. And from Luke chapter 9, he's heading to Jerusalem. He's heading to Calvary. Here on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you like, the curtain has been the curtain that divides the glory of heaven from life on earth. That curtain has been drawn aside just a little for us to see. And we can look forward to being with Christ. Colossians 3 verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What a wonderful perspective for the true believer. Amen.